Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to episode 100 of Random Chatter. Welcome back. It's been a long time. We've missed you. I'm Eric. I'm here with Lou. Lou, how you doing?
I am doing great. I'm very excited to be back here on the 100th episode of Random Chatter.
Where it all started.
Yes.
And the funny thing is, this is...
For me, it didn't.
Well, that's true.
It started on Lost Chatter.
That's true, which is part of the Random Chatter Network.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
So that does count.
You wrenching there for you.
Yeah, no, it's... as longtime listeners know, I need lots of correction. So get used to it. Random Chatter. This is the flagship podcast of the Random Chatter Network. We've been away for a long time. I started doing podcasts on the Forcecast Network back before it was really a network per se. And I kind of decided that I was going to go do that and kind of left the Random Chatter show. The Random Chatter Network has been around. Jay from Jedi Journals, also on the Forcecast Network, has been doing a phenomenal job, along with Josh, at the various different television-related podcasts, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Case Files, Scarlet Velocity, Green Justice. Some great work there. We really appreciate it. And we're glad to be back on the network ourselves.
Yeah, yeah. They've been kind of keeping us going. They've been keeping the network relevant.
Yes. So it's only proper and fitting that, and we're happy to do this, to point that out right here at the top of the episode and to thank them for the great work they've been doing. They've been covering great shows, and they've been doing a great job with their coverage. So if you haven't already been listening to those and you're a fan of Arrow, The Flash, DC Legends of Tomorrow, Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Marvel's Agent Carter, any of those shows, you really should be listening to these podcasts. They're really good. So Random Chatter. This is actually not our 100th episode, but this is episode number 100. We started a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away, back in 2005, and we didn't use incremental numbers for the episode titles. We just did the dates. And then we changed.
I was going to say, would you pick a number out of a hat?
Yeah, this is episode
12.
462.
Episode number 45, yeah.
Yeah, and then we started getting into like fractions and then like negative numbers.
64 and 3/8.
Yes, yeah. It got really messy. So, but we changed over to, we actually rebranded the show as Movie Survival Guide for a while, and then we went back to Random Chatter and restarted and changed the numbering around. So we've done way more than 100 episodes. We've almost had like different seasons of Random Chatter, if you will, but we're back. Mm. We're keeping it with the numbering system this time. We're finally at triple digits.
Well, you know, I think the last iteration of Random Chatter, I was actually running the show for you. It was Jay and I doing it.
Yeah, you were.
I think we actually recorded the 100th episode. I don't know where it is, though. I may have it somewhere in my hard drive. I'll have to see if we can find that lost episode.
So it's like the bonus content, the secret.
It could be. Yeah,
the Easter egg on the DVD. Yeah. Oh, that'd be cool. We'll have to find that. Actually, I think there are several that never got posted to the website, too. They're on their RSS feed, but not on randomchatter.com. But so tonight we are going to discuss Deadpool. You know, there were a lot of things that we were thinking about. You know, we could bring some people on, some guests, and we're still going to do that kind of thing. We could kind of reflect back upon our years of podcasting. There's a lot of different things we could do for the 100th episode. We knew we wanted to do something special. And then came along this guy in a red suit. No, I don't mean Santa Claus. Someone better. And so we're going to talk about Deadpool. But, you know, I do want to kind of keep a little bit with the format of what we used to do with Random Chatter. Mm-hmm. If you're familiar with the Forcecast Network, if you're following us over from there, we are akin to the Echo Base show. If Outer Rim would be our news show, this would be our discussion show. It didn't always used to be that way. Random Chatter used to be just news, and then it was news and discussion, and then just discussion, et cetera. It's had some different iterations over the years. But at the moment, the way things stand, this is going to be primarily our hangout and talk about the entertainment industry, pop culture, geekdom in general, and just kind of whatever we want to do. This is our hangout. Welcome to our basement, our man cave,
Yeah, I gotta have a beer next time then.
You should.
I'm doing this wrong.
Yeah, I don't. Okay. I don't really drink, but I kind of wish I had one. Maybe I'd make more sense.
You might.
Yeah. Oh, and when I say man cave, by the way, women are welcome. Yeah.
Yes, definitely.
For the women out there, when guys say man cave, it's not that they don't want women there. They would love to have women there. They just know the women don't really want to be there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it's not like a sexist thing. It's just an acknowledgement that we're lame and you guys don't really want to be in the man cave. So it ends up being a man cave by default, not out of preference.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that.
Yeah, I just wanted to clarify that. I don't think anybody's really explained that very well. So anyway, so one of the segments we always used to do opening up the show as we check in from week to week is, you know, hey, what's been up in our lives over the last week or two? What have we been up to? Of course, we've got, I want to say almost 3 years since. Oh, you know, it was I've got it here in the notes, actually. I should pay more attention to the show notes. Sunday, it was Star Wars Day, May the 4th, 2014. That was the last recording we did.
Wow.
Yeah.
So let's see. What have I done since May 2014?
Not much.
Where should I start?
I got up, went to the bathroom, brushed my teeth.
Right. I went to work a lot.
Yeah. I moved.
That's right. You're in Connecticut now.
My gosh, from 2014, I moved a few times. Yeah, I'm up here near you in Connecticut, so that's cool.
That's right.
Well, let's keep it a little more basic then. What have we been up to recently of note relating to pop culture, but not relating to Star Wars, that we might not have already talked about on another one of our podcasts?
We've talked about a lot of stuff lately, but I mean, I haven't been doing too much really gaming lately, but TV shows and stuff I'm catching up on. I did just start watching the new Hulu series 11/22/63. That's the Stephen King thing. That's kind of cool. I read the book, and I'm excited to see how the story takes place in, you know, video format now as opposed to book.
Cool.
I was a little worried because the last time King did this was with Under the Dome. And that,
oh, I'm so glad I didn't stick around for that one.
Yeah, I did right to the end. It was horrible. And I'm worried because the ending of 11/22/63 was a little strange.
Okay.
I mean, if you can imagine a Stephen King book being a little strange at the end.
And no spoilers. We're not going to give.
No. Yeah, I'm not going to give anything away. I'm interested to see how they handle this.
You know, I remember the last
time and time changes.
The last Stephen King book that I read cover to cover, and I'm still wondering how he's going to handle the end of that book.
You told me about that. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. I'm sorry. I won't jump down that rabbit hole. But so, how many episodes is this supposed to be?
I want to say it's 10 or 12. So it's a pretty short, compact series. Okay. Which, you know, there's been a lot of that lately, and I kind of like that format that you don't have to worry about going on multiple seasons and having the studio cancel it before the end of the series. And, you know, it's a concise, we're going to tell the story and we're done. I like that. I really do.
I have mixed feelings about it. I like all the benefits of it, but there are also some downsides that are pretty strong. Like, if you really like the show, you want more episodes. And feels like there's a long wait between seasons and...
Well, I mean, you know, we're seeing that with The Expanse. I mean, that's the other thing I've been watching lately on TV that we actually get ready to start a show on. Uh-huh. that's going to be 10 episodes for the first half of the first book in the series.
Yeah.
We're talking about the Expanse series from James S.A. Corey, of course.
Yep.
And, but I like the format where we do it short. We just get a few episodes out and we're done. And we're not going to be dragging this on for... you know, 5 or 6 seasons and have things be really kind of, you know, all of a sudden, okay, now we got to stretch it out for a season. So what do we do with this middle, you know, 10 episodes? We don't really have anything for them. Let's make this filler. And that's kind of how it felt with Lost for a while. I mean, Lost kind of jaded me for a lot of this, you know, TV seasons where, you know, you don't know what the studio is going to do. You don't know if they're going to keep it going and it's planned so we can get out of the series if we need to in a hurry. You know, I'm done with that. I'd really rather have them just know what they're going to get and give us just a quick, you know, concise story.
I was okay with Lost, but BSG really killed it for me, I think. I thought BSG was
that too. Yeah.
I mean, Lost had some really stinker episodes, but for me, BSG, Battlestar Galactica, I mean, just even early on, there were some episodes that's like, wow, you can tell that they just needed some filler.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that's the trouble with a lot of series like that. When, you know, they got to do 24 episodes, they don't know really what they're going to do. They don't have a concise plan. So yeah. Then you end up with these episodes like Black Market.
But know, look at
BSG.
But you mentioned The Expanse. So season one, in theory, was supposed to have been about the first book in the series. It got halfway through the first book.
Yeah, well, that's what we were originally told. Obviously, we get the wrong information because there's no way they went back and, you know, changed the series to be just half the book.
Yeah. Well, it did cover events from the first book. I don't know that they specifically said it was going to equate to the whole first book. So, you know, maybe
true.
We made that assumption.
True, just inferring that, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's really all I've been up to as far as new, you know, pop culture stuff. There's a couple TV series I'm starting to get into, and
okay,
that's about it.
Well, I have been working way too much, and am now actively job hunting. I've been trying to pick up some relaxing hobbies to try to wind down after work, which have not been succeeding. I've taken
like
up
origami and.
I would be willing to do origami, but
bonsai trees and that kind of stuff. Yeah.
No, I've taken up sketching.
Okay.
Which I'm holding my own at. I have kind of, sort of been taking up, I'm trying to take up music production a little bit, electronica, doing some like DJing, mm-hmm. stuff like that, but there's a lot more involved there. You know, picking up the software, the turntables.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm trying to learn Ableton. The learning curve is, I think I have at least a little bit of talent, enough that I can certainly do it as at a hobby level, if not a professional level, definitely. But the learning curve's a little mm-hmm. steep. But yeah, that's most of what I've been doing. You and I also picked up PlayStation 4s about the time Battlefront came out.
Yep.
I was not all that impressed with Battlefront, but I do like the PlayStation 4 as a system. My problem is I can't play a lot of the games while my son is there, because there a lot of them are kind of violent. You know, I can't do DC Injustice. I can't do Mortal Kombat. I can't do Fallout 4. I can't do Destiny. You know, a lot of the games are first person shooters and stuff like that. So I'm trying to find something that's a little more casual. And so I can play that stuff after he goes to bed, but then I'm like so exhausted and tired that I don't have a lot of time to play, first of all. And then on top of that, the whole Twitch Fest thing, first person shooter thing, I'm just,
yeah.
So the two things I've been trying recently that I've enjoyed, one is called Until Dawn. It's an interactive horror movie. And I'm not that far into it yet, but it's really, really good. Interesting story, good character development, the motion capture in it's phenomenal.
Okay.
It's really impressive. And from the research I did and the people I've talked to who've played it, the branching of the choices you make throughout the game legitimately make a lot of differences. Like it's an ensemble cast basically. So there's no like one main character you're following. So you can play through the game and have different characters live and die. And it actually affects legitimately big decisions. And it's not one of those things where like by the end of the game, you get to choose whether someone's wearing a blue shirt or a red shirt. You know, it's,
mm-hmm.
there are things that matter. And actually take you down completely different paths in the game. So the replay value is really good. So I've been trying that. That's still something I have to wait until after Nicholas goes to bed for. And the other thing is Minecraft. It's relaxing. It's soothing. It's somewhat therapeutic. I kind of like that. I'm familiar with the game. I understand redstone circuitry. I've actually built some decent stuff with it. But it's different when it's on a computer and there's an online server and you can have other people log in. When you're playing it on the PlayStation, it's kind of like lonely.
Mm.
You know, you're building structures and castles and villages, and then you're walking around and the streets are empty.
Right.
It's almost depressing. So then it kills any therapeutic benefit that it had. So I don't know. Maybe I should just set it up on the computer again. Of course, then it, you know, people could log in, but it doesn't mean anybody's going to. So
that's true. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, well. So should we get to Deadpool?
Of course.
So holy crap. What is up with people taking their kids to see Deadpool? We're going to talk about everything. We're going to talk about the box office performance. We're going to talk about our own opinions of it. We're going to talk about why we think it did well. What this might mean for future superhero movies. But holy cow, I'm there in line with my wife, and I don't know. It seems like the only time I tweet anymore is when I'm in line for a movie, and I don't get to see that many movies. So so I don't tweet much. But I'm standing there in line, I'm tweeting, I'm like, what is up with all of the kids in line for Deadpool? And then I clarified. I said, and when I mean kids, I mean like 12 or under. I don't mean like 15 or 16-year-old.
Right, right. And, you know, I don't know if it's just the culture we're in today that people just don't think that the rating system applies anymore and they just do what they want.
Right.
You know,
I mean, and they're allowed to, you know, it's not against the law or anything. Don't get us wrong. But this is not, I mean, if ever there was a not kids movie. So here's the thing. There are two different groups of parents out there taking their kids to this movie. The one group right in front of us, they had what must have been like a 10-year-old and an 8-year-old. And they clearly understood what Deadpool was. They clearly understood. They're talking about all of the marketing. They're talking about all of this stuff. Oh, gee, the first Red Band trailer was way better than the second Red Band trailer. I mean, they're tuned into this.
Right. So they've seen the Red Band trailer. They know what the movie's all about. Yeah.
Yeah. There's no confusion when they go in about what their kids are seeing. And I'm thinking, really? So that's the first thing. The second thing, and I don't know whether to be more upset about this or less upset. And I think I'm more upset about this because, you know, those people, they have a right to do what they want in regards to their kids. I'm not trying to tell them how to parent. I'm definitely questioning their parenting decisions, but I'm not trying to tell them what to do. This other group, though, I have to say Deadpool has probably had one of the most aggressive marketing campaigns of any film in recent history. Billboards.
Yeah, it was almost like it was everywhere.
Using emoji and, you know, posters everywhere and on all the talk shows and the trailers and the TV commercials and the public service the public service announcements for testicular cancer. And there was just so much Deadpool. I was actually worried about getting smothered. But not me personally, but like there'd be oversaturation of Deadpool. So when we get people that one of my coworkers sent me something she found on Facebook. And it's a parent that posted said, well, had to leave Deadpool shortly into the movie. Should have realized beforehand that it would have been too adult for a 9-year-old. Yes. Yes, you should have. At least the tickets were only $5. Live and learn. Yeah, you probably should have realized beforehand that it would have been too adult. So then somebody responded, said, I heard someone else say the same thing. They should give parents some type of warning or give a better rating.
Wow, if there was only a way to know what the movie was going to be like before you saw it.
Yeah.
Like some sort of rating system, like a, you know, right. ABC or, you know.
So the person underneath said, you mean like an R rating?
Wow.
They should give parents some type of warning.
That's hysterical.
Holy crap. You should never have procreated. You should have been removed from the gene pool. I'm not saying you should have died, but if ever someone should be sterile, I'm thinking it's people like this.
Wow. Yeah.
I don't know that these are safe parents. That's the thing. Like, if they're missing something as obvious as this, I'm wondering, like, what other safety things around their house they're... Honey, no, I think you kind of overcooked supper today. Yeah, next time you cook, don't... When you do the flambé thing, yeah, I know you're only 6, but when you're at the stove and you've got open flame, try not to blah, 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 blah. I mean, I'm wondering how many other safety things that these parents are just not in tune with their kids.
Yeah, you know, the last movie that I went to granted, there was no kids at the Deadpool show that I went to, but a few years back.
Yeah, you went at like 9 o'clock in the morning.
I did, yeah.
There are laws in most places. They have to be in school then. It's the 9 p.m. showings where all the kids are going.
Right. But a couple years ago, my wife and I went to see We're the Millers in the theater. And that was rated R, of course, obviously, too. And it was a comedy. And there was a family behind us with, like, two kids that were, like, in their, you know, 12, 13, you know, maybe 10.
Uh-huh.
And a couple times we're in the movie and, like, something happened on screen. And both Sharon and I kind of like looked at each other and went, but that's going to be a fun car ride home. Mom, what did he mean when he said, you know, it's like, wow, kids are going to grow up way too fast. And they grow up way too fast as it is. This is just another symptom of that, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you didn't bring Nicholas, I assume, right?
And that was a point of contention between us. I think we damaged our relationship by me not bringing him. Because, you know, I've got Deadpool statues. I read Deadpool comics. I've got the little Funko Pop Deadpool figures. I mean, I'm a Deadpool guy. I liked Deadpool before Deadpool was cool.
Mm-hmm. And I've heard a lot of people say the same thing. It's like, oh, my son's really mad because I can't bring him to this movie.
Yeah.
I'm like, well,
but
good.
You know what?
I mean, you know, it's not the movie for the kid.
Yeah. I mean, that, and that's why I told him, like, hey, listen, I can't take you to this. I know you want to, but this is for grownups. There's scary stuff in it, and there are people using bad language that they shouldn't use. Yeah, you know, they're bad guys, but I can't take you to this movie. You got to go to grandma's house. And, I mean, he understood. But, I mean, I kind of felt like it was maybe pushing a little bit to take him to see The Force Awakens.
Mm-hmm.
With I won't say any spoilers because it's still actively in the theaters, but there's a certain death scene, and it's not even so much that it was graphic, but it was emotionally complicated, and
yeah.
The moments leading up to the death, I thought he might be confused by what was going on, and you know, well, wait a minute, and like I'd have to, you know, have a 30-minute discussion with him afterwards about what was going on in the minds of the two characters and everything. And he was okay with it. So, yeah, but I mean, I went to see it first and then thought about whether to take him. And, you know, I might have gotten a spoiler or two on top of that. I see.
No.
Yeah, I know.
No,
I stayed spoiler free for Deadpool. Yeah, but so parents out there, if you haven't gone yet and you're thinking about taking your kids, don't. And if you did take your kids, hopefully it's because you decided to, in knowing what you got into, because I kind of feel like if you didn't know what you're getting into and you regret having taken your kids, it's your own fault.
Yeah.
Wake up. All right. So we just lost, two listeners. They're half of our audience. All right. So, let's talk about the performance real quick. $135 million opening weekend, unless you're saying it's $132.2 million, in which case you're
that's
wrong.
That's what I saw somewhere, but, you know, hey, maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah, but just because you're looking at official websites does not mean that you're right. You might be correct.
You're making stuff up.
But not
you're rounded, right? Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Biggest R-rated opening ever.
Nice.
Ever. Biggest February opening ever, which is, in my personal opinion, a little less impressive. The biggest R-rating opening ever was...
That is impressive. Now, what was the next biggest? Or do you have that in front of you? Or?
Oh, you know, I could have told you.
I'll go to Box Office.
Oh,
I'll
every day up here. Until today.
I got it. I'll cover.
Okay,
it here.
I'll read off the other stats. And man, if you'd asked me yesterday, I could have told you. So, what makes this especially impressive, in my opinion, as far as the box office take, $130-ish million opening weekend. I'm still going with the 135, so sue me. $135 million opening weekend is incredible for any movie. But take into consideration, this is R-rated, so you lose the family experience. You got people seeing it by themselves or with a group of friends or with their significant other, but you're not bringing like a family of four or five, so that affects the box office sales right there.
Mm-hmm.
It was in February, freaking February. What we here on Random Chatter have traditionally referred to as the box office blues period, because typically speaking, January and February are dry. There's nothing there except Oscar-nominated films. There were no premium 3D ticket sales.
Oh, okay.
So you were paying, you know, I guess the average is like $9 or $10 a ticket. If you're seeing it in IMAX, maybe $12, but you're not paying the $16 or $17 for IMAX 3D. Yeah, there are still premium theaters out there. I talked to one person who paid $22 a ticket.
Wow.
Yeah, but this is like some really like ritzy theater in Atlanta, something like that. But the point is, you don't have, you know, with a few very narrow exceptions, you don't have that 3D ticket sales driving up that premium. You did have IMAX. That helped. Another thing that makes this really impressive is Deadpool's a relatively unknown character. Now, yeah, they had all the marketing and everything, but this isn't Spider-Man or Wolverine or Captain America or Iron Man. These aren't A-list superheroes that have been around since the 1930s.
Yeah, it's not a real common, you know, name out there that non, you know, comic book fans are going to know about. But anybody who's into comics is going to know about Deadpool. I mean, that's, you know, by and far the most common cosplay you see at a convention.
Yeah.
You know, it's everywhere. It more recently, it's been everywhere, but not.
Yeah.
Still in mainstream.
But even then, you're mentioning conventions. Convention goers, yeah, they're going to go see this. But like my next door neighbor.
No.
Not really convention goer. Yeah. So right there, you're talking about a very narrow demographic. And so the fact that it's able to expand outside of that, very impressive. And on top of that, not only is he a little known character, he's basically an anti-hero. He's not even really a superhero.
Right, right. He doesn't want to be either.
Right. And small budget.
Yeah.
The production budget on this was like about $60 million. That's it.
Right.
So for a superhero movie, that's like a drop in the bucket. So very, very impressive. Did you find out what the previous R-rated
opening
was?
I did. So R-rated movies out there for biggest opening weekends, Deadpool, and again, Box Office Mojo, 132. Mm-hmm. So not to rain in your parade there.
I know. They're the experts on this, too.
So. Matrix Reloaded.
That's what it was. That's what it was. Yes.
American Sniper, 89. Hangover Part 2 at 85. 50 Shades of Grey, which was the previous February opening record holder, 85. So,
yeah. So it's not like this is 132 versus 128 or something.
Right. And, you know, you think about just what it's beat out there for R-rated movies. And granted, R-rated movies aren't your big money winners anyway. But, I mean, on top of a lot of these names, you're like, wow, did really, really well.
Yeah. Well, and it did really good against other comic book films, too. X-Men Days of Future Past did really well at the box office, but it brought in $90 million opening weekend. And keep in mind, that's a movie with Hugh Jackman as Wolverine, you know, et cetera. $135 million versus $90
million. Yeah.
This brought in an additional third of what Days of Future Past brought in opening weekend alone.
Right, and on a much, much smaller budget, too.
Yeah. Days of Future Past had a budget of $200
million. Wow.
Yeah, so it brought in a little less than half its budget opening weekend. Deadpool brought in twice. Now, I don't know its marketing budget and stuff like that. Its production budget, I think, was $60 million. I don't know what the overall budget was, but it doubled its production budget. Opening weekend, like right there, it's already good to go. The recent Fantastic Four movie, of course, bombed. $25 million opening weekend. It only made $167 million total. So as we're recording this, Deadpool has already passed the entire theatrical run for Fantastic Four. And I don't even know what its budget was. Guardians. Here's the one that gets me. Guardians of the Galaxy. Considered a resounding success.
Yep.
People loved the movie. It did really well. Big summer blockbuster hit from Marvel Entertainment. $94 million opening weekend, which, and don't get me wrong, this and Days of Future Past, I mean, $90 million opening weekend is really good. That's a good, solid opening weekend. But $94 million versus $135. Now, Guardians of the Galaxy brought in $333 million total for its box office theatrical run.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Deadpool opening weekend made almost half that.
Yeah. Be interesting to see what the staying power of, no pun intended, of Deadpool and see how it does now in the next couple weekends.
Yeah. Now, the other good thing is that word of mouth about Deadpool has been phenomenal. So yeah. I think those coming weekends, I mean, we're recording this on Thursday, February 18th. So we're hitting that 1 week mark right now. I am dying to see what it does on weekend two.
Me too. Yeah. Be interesting if it does the same or close to it, you know. Yeah. If it does anywhere around $100 million, I'd be very, very surprised and excited.
That would be really awesome. $100 million in its second weekend.
But you know, it's one of these things where I think it's gotten so much word of mouth press that people will just want to go see it. I mean, we're talking about it at work, and people that hadn't even thought about going to see it are now like, yeah, everybody's talking about this movie. I got to go see it, you know?
Well, and you and I are the type of people who generally do not go to see movies a second time in the theaters, and we like movies.
Mm.
So for us to say we want to go see it again while it's in the theaters is not a big deal, but we like movies. We are around a lot of other people who may or may not even go to the theaters to see movies that often. Everyone I've talked to, not a big movie buff, they don't do movie podcasts, etc. 100% of the people I've talked to who have seen this movie loved it and plan to go see it again.
That's cool.
So that's another good sign. So the half-life, if you will, at the box office, it's not exactly 50%. I have to look up what the numbers are. But statistically speaking, your second weekend of release, you're going to basically cut your box office results in half. Third weekend, half again. Fourth weekend, that's probably about your last weekend in the box office.
Right, right.
This,
and,
we might
you know,
not
it doesn't have
drop.
A lot of good competition this week, so...
Yeah, oh, that's the other thing.
There's not a lot of big things coming out this weekend.
No. No, certainly nothing that's recognizable or that's been heavily marketed or anything like that. I mean, yeah, well, and so the other good thing about the word of mouth, aside from just the fact that people really like the movie, is that now that they're talking about all these records that are being broken, the people who had previously dismissed it are starting to become curious. I'm telling you, I don't think there's going to be a big drop.
There might not be. I mean, I'm looking at the on Box Office Mojo. The Wednesday box office for Deadpool was 8.6 million.
That's good.
I mean, that was better than the number five movie for last weekend.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, wow. So I'm excited to see what this thing does overall. I mean, right now it's at 172 million.
Oh, that's awesome. I'm so thrilled. We've talked before about how disappointed I've been with anything that has been adapted for film out of something that's meant a lot to me, like growing up or in childhood or comic books or something like that, that like I never thought I'd see on film. So G.I. Joe, Transformers, Ender's Game. I'm still a little worried about Ready Player One.
Mm-hmm.
You know, any books or comics or cartoons growing up, the A-Team. I used to watch Dukes of Hazzard as a kid. I'm a little embarrassed to say. I mean, all of these movies have been horrible. And it's crushing. And Deadpool redeemed all of that. Like this is the one I'm like, please don't mess this one up. Please let Deadpool be at least okay. And I'm happy to say that it seems to have done all right. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just looking at other numbers here on Box Office Mojo as we're talking. Right now, it's still in the theaters, been out for what, not even a week yet, or you know. Worldwide, it's at 320.
And
it's only been out for a week. It's at 320. It's already climbing up the chart. I mean,
there's one critical piece of information there that you need to consider too. It's banned in China.
Is it really?
Yes.
Yeah, wow.
Which is typical. China and some other very conservative countries don't allow R-rated movies.
Okay.
So there are a lot of countries where it won't play, and of course China is the biggest box office location in the world.
Yeah.
So for it to be banned there and still bringing in, you know, 300 plus million in its first week internationally, that's
yeah. I mean, really, it's really at 325 million total right now worldwide. And I'm looking at movies that are around it in the list here. Just above it is Seven at 327 million.
Hmm.
Yeah, and granted, these movies have been out for a while, so their box office numbers are lower because ticket prices were lower. But
sure,
you know, I mean, Meet the Parents is right around there. Who Framed Roger Rabbit? It seems like, wow, these movies are really well respected movies, and it's already up there. It's going to be climbing up into the top 100 pretty soon.
Yeah. Well, let's exciting. Actually give our review of the. Well, this is going to end up being a 6-hour episode if we don't move along, I guess.
True.
So, what did you think?
I really enjoyed it. Now, granted, I went into the movie not knowing as much about Deadpool as you. I was never really. I wasn't that much into comics when I was younger, so I didn't have all the background.
Mm-hmm.
But the trailers I loved. I loved the fact that Deadpool was kind of that irreverent character where he's breaking the fourth wall and talking to the audience and just really just kind of doesn't care about anything. He just wants to do what he wants to do. And it's just fun. So I went in with the attitude of, okay, I'm going to just enjoy a good action movie and see some good comedy at the same time. And I was not disappointed. From start to finish, I think I had a smile on my face the whole time. It was just, you know, a couple little slow spots, but nothing horrible. It was just, I really, really, really enjoyed a movie that I didn't have to think about that I could just go yeah. and watch and get visual eye candy for, you know, it was great.
Yeah. And you mentioned it being fun and visual eye candy. It was not just visual eye candy. You know, episode one, Star Wars episode one, The Phantom Menace, definitely visual eye candy.
Mm-hmm.
This is a different type of visual eye candy. This is more adrenaline candy, I guess. Like this was, I know what you mean by eye candy in the sense that just visually watching everything that happened in the choreography of the fights.
It was there to have fun, and I didn't have to, it wasn't eye candy to the point where, it was like Avatar eye candy. It wasn't
right.
Amazing visuals,
pretty colors.
But even that, I mean, the special effects were awesome for this for a budget of $60 million. I couldn't see where this was any different than some of these other huge budget movies.
Now, if you want to get really,
effects looked great. The action scenes were awesome. The choreography was awesome.
The only complaint I have visually, and this is something a few other people have mentioned too. I'll go ahead and throw my complaints out here because they're small, they're nitpicky, and it doesn't really break anything. But just for the sake of critique, Colossus, the CG on Colossus was a little iffy. It wasn't bad, didn't break anything.
Mm-hmm.
I can see where some people felt like it could have been a little better. I don't know how much I care.
Right. I was going to say, I mean, like you say, it doesn't break anything.
Right.
It wasn't like I was watching the scene and went, oh, God, that's really horrible CGI, or, oh, God, that really looks just fake.
Right.
You know, there was none of that where it took me out of the scene. Yeah, it could always be better, but if it works, it works, you know?
I mean, you've got the main character cracking jokes about how badly the actor for the main character ended up being in Green Lantern.
Right.
A different film. Of a different company. I mean, you know, the whole breaking of the fourth wall. It's like if Colossus sucks with the CG, even if it did feel fake, it's kind of like, okay, well, it's a fake movie. You've got a person talking about the actor playing himself at different points in the movie.
And at the same time, I mean, I kind of thought Colossus was there almost as if we're going to use him to poke fun at the X-Men.
Yeah. Movies. Well, that's basically true. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, it's one of those things that's like, okay, that doesn't bother me. The other thing, like if I really had to critique things that mattered to me, but again, I thought of after the film rather than while I was watching the film.
Okay.
I felt like there were times in the middle where I wish I saw more Deadpool and less Wade Wilson. I don't know that that would have been a good thing because I think that they did a really good job of telling what little story there was. I think we needed it to be told the way that it was told. So I'm okay with that. And I think that the cutting back and forth through the timeline helped us get Deadpool dispersed throughout the film instead of just at the end. So I think that was
a great way to do an origin story where you didn't have this really slow, drawn out, intro right. to the character.
It's not 45 minutes before Peter Parker finally puts on the Spider-Man costume.
Exactly, right. I mean, when you start out, even the opening credits was really the height of that action awesome. Scene. I was like, awesome.
Yeah.
This is a really cool way to do it.
Yeah. Wow, the opening credits were very cool. Very simple.
I had no idea what to expect. I was like, oh, my God. I'm like, what did I miss? Because I didn't catch on that there was funny stuff in the opening credits until, I don't know, maybe a minute or so in. I'm like, oh, what did I miss the first minute?
Yeah.
I should have paid attention.
Well, and the part that I thought was interesting, too, was I'm like, okay, well, that's an interesting scene to kind of, you know, freeze. And there's a lot of stuff going on here. And I guess they kind of have to do that if they're going to freeze everything. It's not like you could actually have this be a scene in the movie and catch all of this stuff. And yeah. then later you find out, no, that is actually taken from a scene that happens later in the movie. And you're like, oh, wow. Yeah, no, he's totally grabbing the guy by the underwear. There is he's hanging out of the vehicle. And
it's yeah, no, like, I thought that was pretty cool, actually, when you think about when I think about it now. That action scene happening at full speed, you probably have to watch it a couple times to really catch everything going on.
Uh-huh.
The way they did it, where they had you, you know, kind of like almost like bullet time, kind of in that scene, moving the camera around, you caught all the bits and pieces that you wouldn't normally catch at full speed.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, it worked at full speed. And yeah. then it also worked frozen because you're picking up on, you know, like, all of these different things going on in this single shot.
Right. It was, oh, that's where that came from. And, oh, that's where the whole, you know, I don't want to mention anything because it's fun to watch it without having, yeah. you know, people tell you about it. But there were so many things that caught them. Like, oh, that was really cool. I'm glad I saw that frozen sequence ahead of time.
Yeah. Oh, and did you catch the text, like the actual credits, the opening
yeah,
credits?
That's what I was saying. I wonder what I missed. And it was because I was watching, you know, it's like, okay, it's opening credits. It's just a fancy scene. We're flying around some stuff, whatever. And then I realized, oh, wait a minute, the text for the opening credits is funny. And I'm missing, you know, what? How many did I miss that before I caught the one about directed by so-and-so? You know, I'm like,
right.
Okay, I got to watch this again.
Oh, darn, because that would be so horrible.
Actually, I was looking at my remote to rewind it because I'm like, oh, wait, I'm at home. Damn it.
Ah, you wish.
I know.
I refuse to pirate this movie, but man, I this is like Star Wars level of pirating desire here. Like, oh my gosh, I want to copy this so bad.
Out before you know it. Come on.
Oh, I don't know. I will be counting the days. That, seriously, this is like right up there with like a Star Wars level for me. I am. Yeah. So my review of it, pacing at times could have been a little better. This story was very basic. It was very predictable. But it wasn't about the story. It wasn't supposed to be about the story. It wasn't supposed to be complex. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter how good the special effects on Colossus were. Like, all of these things that, yeah, I can see the critiques that people have, but they don't matter. I've had more fun at this movie than probably any movie I've seen in a decade. I look over at my wife is laughing. My wife, who was like, I'm going to see this movie with you because I feel bad for you. I don't want you to have to go by yourself. And because I know how badly you want to see this, so it's kind of like me taking Nicholas to Chuck E. Cheese. The pizza's horrible. I'm not going to play the games, but my six-year-old really wants to go, and I love him, and I want him to enjoy himself, so I'm taking him.
That's awesome.
But she like was cracking up through a lot of the movie, and then afterwards, of course, she's like, yeah, okay, it wasn't that bad. I'm like, wasn't that bad? You were like laughing your head off. Yeah, it wasn't that bad. So, yeah.
You know, you mentioned that it's predictable, and I'm trying to think back to what comic book movie or what action-type hero movie wasn't predictable. I mean, none of these movies are known for having a real twist at the end or a real big, you know. It is what it is. You're going to get that same thing. You're going to be able to figure it out a third of the way into the movie. You know what happens. You know, so that to me didn't break it for me at all.
Yeah, you kind of figured out 5 minutes into the movie what was going to happen to some extent. I mean, right. I can't think of any.
No. So, I mean, in terms of that, I wouldn't even think about that as a nick in this movie.
Yeah.
I come right down to there are films and there are popcorn movies. And this is a popcorn movie for me. This was... I'm going to go and have fun and just watch the movie, you know?
Yeah. No, this was a plow through your popcorn and go get a refill on your popcorn
movie. Right.
Yeah. And really, if you had to boil it down to one word, I think fun is... this movie epitomizes fun to me. And, you know, for all of the years that we've been doing movie reviews on this network, all of the ones you and I have done together, all the ones our previous hosts have done. Mm. And when we do other things where we're talking about movies, like if, you know, shameless plug here for flickchart.com, a movie with which we don't get any funding or anything, but it's a really cool site and we like to plug it when we can. When I do my rankings over there and I'm choosing, okay, well, which is better, this movie or that movie? There are a lot of different criteria by which you could base that. I just look at, okay, which movie was more fun? Which did I enjoy better?
Which movie would I want to watch again?
Exactly. You know? And that's the one I pick.
Know, I'll even channel Deadpool here and say, this movie puts the FU in fun.
There you go. Oh, that should be the title of the
episode. Yeah, good.
The FU in fun.
This puts the FU in fun.
But, yeah, I mean, that's really it. It really boils down to... did you have fun or not? Andrew, mm-hmm. one of the previous hosts on the Random Chatter Network, who was doing movie chatter for a while, he was much more kind of the artistic side of film and the analysis side of film. And I enjoy analysis and the art behind filmmaking and things like that, too. Sometimes that can be fun if you get something out of that. And there have been a lot of movies for which I could get something from the artistic side of things or from the analytical side of things. And I enjoy those movies too. But he critiqued his films from a different perspective than me. For me, it's always been about fun. And mm-hmm. this movie epitomizes that.
Yeah. It's been one of those movies, you mentioned Flickchart. It's been one of those movies that on my Flickchart is going to be tough for me over the years when it comes up against other movies because I have that inner conflict where I look at movies, am I going to rate this based on how much fun I had or how much I want to watch it again? Or am I going to base it on, you know, how good the movie was as far as technical aspects or, you know, how hard it was to film or, you know, that kind of stuff.
Right.
And sometimes I feel bad when I rate something that I really just enjoyed better than something that's supposed to be a classic, you know, it's like, I feel bad, but it's still, I'd rather see this movie than that classic, even though that was a better technical movie, yeah. This is still more fun, you know? So I have that inner struggle all the time on Flickchart.
Now, see, you mentioned Flickchart too many times, and now I've got to log in and actually I'm going to rank this while...
I haven't ranked this one yet either.
My big concern is how many of the Star Wars movies am I going to end up putting this in front of?
Oh, so, boy, yeah, that's...
Yeah, my top 10... Oh, this is a little outdated. I need to go update my stuff, I think. My top 10, Blade Runner, The Empire Strikes Back, The Matrix, one of the Star Wars movies. Oh, probably Star Wars The Force Awakens, Star Wars The New Hope, The Avengers, Guardians of the Galaxy. How did Interstellar get this high?
Wow.
Yeah, really? No, I got it. That's a mistake.
I recently nuked my flick chart and started over again, so.
I would, but I've got 1,600 movies I've ranked.
Yeah, I have got almost that too, and some ungodly number of rankings.
12,000 rankings. It's like, yeah, that's going to be hard. 1408 is in number 9. I love that movie. And then Inception is number 10. So, yeah, I've got some things I've got to fix there, but I'm going to rank Deadpool while we're talking here. Actually, you know, I was just going to do it in the background while you were talking, but you know, maybe this would be this could be a good tour of Flickchart too while I'm doing this. So okay, so Deadpool versus the King of Kong, which is a documentary about Donkey Kong. So Deadpool, that's at the halfway point of my 1600. Okay. Deadpool versus the Lady Killers, definitely Deadpool. Deadpool versus Beverly Hills Cop 2, which I liked better than Beverly Hills Cop 1 for some reason, but Deadpool better than Speed. About a third of the way through. Here's a good movie. Tucker and Dale versus Evil. Have you ever seen this movie?
I have not.
Quick sidebar. It's on Netflix. It stars, stars Alan Tudyk.
Oh.
And of Con Man fame and Firefly and Serenity and various other things. We love Alan Tudyk. Alan Tudyk and another guy, I don't know the other actor's name, but they play these hicks. You've seen the old, like horror movies where a bunch of kids go out to like a beach house out in the woods for the weekend. And, you know, these like, you know, redneck hicks, like kidnap them and chop them up with machetes or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like it's the whole horror movie stereotype, right?
Yep.
Well, that's not this at all. Like these guys are just like normal redneck guys living out in the woods, and these kids come in, but like all this bad stuff ends up happening, and it looks like they're out to kill these kids, and they have like they're not at all. They're trying to help them out and stuff, and it gets like things just really go bad. Hilarious movie, but yeah, so check it out. It's on Netflix. Tucker and Dale versus Evil. Deadpool versus Iron Man. The first one, definitely Deadpool. All right. It's up to 50. Deadpool. Oh, this one's tough. Deadpool versus Serenity.
Hmm.
Yeah, I have to say Deadpool. I love Serenity, and I think it's one of the best sci-fi movies out there.
Just out of curiosity, how much of this is because it's new for you? I mean, my flick chart, I tend not to – things don't go
it's
to
been
the
a week.
Top of mind as quickly.
It's been a week. No, that's a really good question because I always tend to rate a movie higher right after I've seen it than I do after I've had some time. But Deadpool versus Serenity is going to be kind of a tough one because, yeah, see, I need to redo this list.
Yeah, I need to spend some time on my flick chart because I've only got 253 movies in mind right now.
Deadpool versus the Avengers. I'm picking Deadpool because I thought the Avengers, you know, had some pacing issues that Deadpool didn't. Okay, Deadpool is number 6.
Wow. Top 10.
Yeah.
I'm sure mine will get up there. Right now, I just ranked mine, too. Mine's ranked at 34, but I got some problems with my flick chart. I gotta fix some stuff that's not as high as it should be and stuff that's higher than it should be, you know.
Yeah.
But,
well, yeah, I mean, that happens. Over time, you have different opinions of movies and, you know, different priorities. You look at comparisons differently, but... there's been a lot of analysis of why Deadpool has done as well as it did. I mean, we talked before mm-hmm. about all of the challenges it had to overcome, and yet it succeeded.
Yeah, I mean, what, Ryan Reynolds said it took him, what, 7 years to get this movie made?
Yeah, something like that.
And I can't wait for some of the behind-the-scenes stuff and some of the commentary stuff to see all the stuff that they went through to get this movie made. It kind of almost got made in spite of itself. I mean, it was never really out there. There was some leaked footage.
That's what helped get it made. Actually,
the whole air quotes thing nobody can really see.
Yeah, that, leaked footage that was leaked by one of the four people. Like it was either him,
right,
Tim Miller, or like the other two people who worked on the footage.
And like, what a great way to get that out there for the people to start talking about. You know, one of the people working on the film leaks, quote unquote, leaks the movie out.
Yeah.
But you know. It was nothing that was really on anybody's radar to come up and do, and yet everybody wanted it. And, you know, so let's see. It was an R-rated movie. We talked about that. Mm-hmm. And it was – I think it was key to get the movie made as an R-rated movie because, face it, it wouldn't have done well as a PG-13.
Well, and that's – so right there, I think you hit on one of the most important factors is that it stayed true to the nature of the character. This mm-hmm. isn't – even if the comic – books themselves aren't necessarily R-rated. I mean, they're a little bit violent, but they're not necessarily graphic in the violence. But I mean, the guy does play a mercenary slash assassin who's kind of almost becoming a good guy, but isn't quite there. It's true to the nature of the character, and you can't really be true to the nature of the character very easily in a PG-13 movie. It has to be R if you're going to stay true to it.
And right.
If you look at the, like, even the upcoming Age of Apocalypse movie, the character Psylocke, one of the X-Men, back in the early 90s, when that roster of X-Men is kind of considered the pinnacle of X-Men lore, with Chris Claremont, you had the X-Men and the Uncanny X-Men, the two titles going side by side, the red, the blue team, the gold team. Psylocke was one of the big characters in that. She is a British character who, it's complicated, but just bear with me. British character, her mind was removed from her body and placed into the body of a Japanese assassin. So she's this Japanese woman with purple hair with a British accent who's a ninja. Ninja okay. telepath. So in the upcoming movie, she is one of, this is not a spoiler, it's all over the marketing stuff. She is one of Apocalypse's four horsemen. And Olivia Munn, who's playing Psylocke, which is a great casting choice, mentions the fact that she does not have a British accent. And like I'm thinking, okay, so now she's a bad guy who's not British. It's like you're kind of changing some of the elements of who the character really is. Yeah, you're keeping the costume and she's still a ninja, but otherwise it's not even really the same character.
Mm.
And I think there have been some other deviations with the X-Men films in that sort of thing. And I think that it doesn't work. You're losing the interest of your most rabid supporters. And that's a mistake. You're not really developing the characters really well, which means you're not bringing in the new people, which is a mistake. Mm. I mean, yeah, in the X-Men,
but you know, I think that's a different thing you're pointing out though than what Deadpool is. Whereas, you know, if you made Deadpool a PG-13 movie, you couldn't have the character be the way he is in the comics and in the way he is in the movie now as an R-rated movie, and that would really ruin it for not just the fans that know who he is and want to see him that way, but ruin it for the people that enjoyed the movie for what it was. I mean, it was an R-rated yeah. adult comedy.
Right.
You know, and if you made it into a PG-13 adult comedy, well, it's not going to have the same punch, not going to have the same, you know, irreverent right. factor to it. I mean, I look at Deadpool as being a very irreverent character that doesn't take himself too seriously and doesn't really care about what people think about him. And if you took some of that away from him, it's not going to have the same punch.
Exactly. Because part of what made this movie work so well was the fact that the character just didn't give a crap about anything and was so outrageously over the top. Everyone around him, I mean, you didn't have like the straight man from a comedic point of view.
No,
I'm not talking about, you know, sexual preferences here, but
right.
Comedically speaking, you don't have a straight man in this film. Everybody is a straight man. And you have this one guy who's just completely zany and off his rocker.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one of the things that worked. And in this type of film, you can't, like you said, you can't do that PG-13. So it did have to be R-rated. And that's one of the, things I think that made this succeed. The fact that they stayed true to the nature of the character. That's one thing. And then linked to that, but still separate, they understood that it did have to be R-rated to get the situations and scenarios that typify this character. Like you said, you can't do this type of character with this type of humor at PG-13.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, the whole unicorn thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, all that stuff. There's so many things. I don't want to give away anything because if everybody who hasn't seen the movie or doesn't know Deadpool, I want you to experience this like I did firsthand and go, oh my God, that's just so funny.
Yeah.
You know, without being spoon fed.
Yeah. Oh no, we're totally not talking about specific jokes on this show. Because no.
Right.
It was original. Mm-hmm. I think that's something that helped it. All of the stuff we talked about so far, this hasn't really been done yet. It's kind of a breath of fresh air. And then also the fact that you've got it with the demographic, you've got kind of the best of both worlds. If you're into comic books, there have been some really good comic book films recently. And so now this is kind of carrying on in that role. And so you're into it. And if you don't like comic books and you feel like they've been oversaturating the box office recently, this also kind of pokes fun of that. And so you're into it. So mm-hmm. if you like the comic book movies, you're into it. If you don't like the comic book movies, you're still into it because it's kind of poking fun of them at the same time. So it kind
yeah.
of hits it.
Yeah, I can see that. Yep.
Both directions a little bit anyway. So what I'm trying to figure out is what this is going to mean for future superhero movies, though. People are already talking about, you know, future R-rated movies, but actually there's been a lot of talk about Superman versus Batman, which comes out in just a few weeks.
Mm-hmm.
they are.
See, now I, you know, it just bothers me a little bit too about the fact that Hollywood just jumps on any bandwagon they can find.
Oh yeah,
and tries to, let's do that for our movie too. And it's like, okay, our movie worked specifically because it was Deadpool. And it's not just you can make a, like there was an article today yesterday that, somebody, Ginsburg said that X-Force could be an R-rated movie. And it's like, well, okay, now that movie would be maybe different because that's going to have Deadpool in it, I believe, right?
I'll come back to that in a moment. Continue your thought.
But now, say it was something else that didn't have Deadpool in it. Mm-hmm. Just take your movie and make it an R-rated movie. If you're making an R-rated movie for the violence and that kind of stuff, I don't think it's going to buy you much.
Right.
This movie had to be R because of Deadpool and who he is and the way he, treats the audience. It doesn't really translate to other stuff unless you happen to have that kind of comedy in there. I mean, I looked at this as more X-Men, X-Force, whatever, more R-rated for the comedy aspect of it in the adult language and situations than it was for any kind of violence.
I agree.
Even though it was violent, but you could have got away without having, some of the gratuitous violence in the movie and still been Deadpool. Because that was it, more of the R rating for the adult comedy.
No, it was definitely. Yeah. No, it was definitely for that.
What I'm saying is, just to say, okay, let's make these movies R rated now.
Right. You can't just jump on the bandwagon.
All you're going to do is just cut your audience down because you're going to have fewer people to go see it. And this was kind of a perfect storm of why it did well.
Right.
Being an R rated movie, and I don't think you can replicate that. I wish they wouldn't try.
Well, I want to come back to the Batman versus Superman thing in a minute, but specifically regarding the R rating and the fact that now it's like, so this is something we can do now?
Right.
Well, wow, we thought we couldn't do it before. Let's do this. I think it boils down to, is it true to the characters or not? So what could you do and what couldn't you do? I mean, you can't do an R-rated Superman movie. I mean, you can, but you're cheating. Like, that's not true to the character. That doesn't work.
Okay, yeah.
Could you do R-rated Batman? I would argue probably not even R-rated Batman, though you could do R-rated Suicide Squad, like a Joker movie.
Yeah.
Totally, you could do that. R-rated.
Yep.
Okay. So in that case, it's true to the nature of the character and the situations that the character is either in or, in Joker's case, causes. So that would work. With the stuff that's been specifically mentioned here, Deadpool 2, and this isn't a spoiler because this is something that has been speculated prior to Deadpool being released. It's something that Ryan Reynolds has already done interviews saying that, I want to have Cable in the next one. Mm-hmm. The directors and the writers have said, I think the fans would probably lynch us if we didn't put Cable in the next one, so we kind of have to. And they want to as well. They're not saying they feel forced to. Mm-hmm. So Cable is going to be the next one. Cable is also a character that would easily be R-rated. Wouldn't necessarily have to be, but could very easily be. Wolverine is another character that could very easily be R-rated. You might not get that from the X-Men films. The most recent movie, The Wolverine, I think you get a better sense that you could go in a more R-rated direction with it. It fits the character. The character is inherently violent.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, the X-Men comic books, the X-Men movies and such, it's that violent, rage-filled, animalistic character trying to rein it in, trying to control himself. There are a lot of the more adult graphic novels where he doesn't rein it in so much. And there are definitely some Wolverine stories that are for more mature audiences. So that could work with an R rating. X-Force is a little tricky because there are different iterations of X-Force. The original X-Force, it was Cable with, it started out as the New Mutants, which was kind of a Teen Titans sort of thing. You had the X-Men and then you had the teenager X-Men. Well, then they brought in Cable. And I won't get into the origin of Cable and everything, but he's kind of a futuristic Wolverine, but he's more technology-based, gun-based, etc. Very much military drill sergeant kind of thing. So now he is in charge of the New Mutants. Well, as a result, the New Mutants get a little darker and more, you know, not quite following the pristine rules of Charles Xavier's Institute for Higher Learning. And, you know, they're a little more roguish. So New Mutants becomes X-Force. Actually, Deadpool debuted in issue number 98 of New Mutants. And I think it only had 100 issues. So it then became X-Force, and they were more kind of out on their own. They were. It was not an R-rated comic book, but the tone was that they were the R-rated X-Men. They were the ones that would be willing to take a life if it needed to be done, whereas Professor X would under no circumstances take someone's life. Like, these are the people who would go back in time and assassinate Hitler as a child.
Right.
Professor X would never even consider doing that, and especially not as a child. So, but it was still kind of the teenagers and such. More recently, there was an iteration of X-Force where X-Force didn't exist anymore, and then X-Force was brought back secretly, unbeknownst to the rest of the X-Men, specifically as an assassin squad. Like, they actually went back and tried to kill a child version of Apocalypse and assassinate him. And the team was made up of Wolverine, Psylocke, Archangel, a character that's lesser known called Phantom X, and Deadpool. And they were a hit squad. You could totally do that as an R-rated film easily. Like, maybe even NC-17, like, just because of how dark in tone it was. And I mean, it was like a really depressingly ominous book. So I agree with Simon Kinberg, the producer for the upcoming X-Force film, when he said, I can see X-Force being R-rated. There have been others before. Punisher, I believe there was an R-rated Punisher film, if not a couple. I want to say, wasn't Blade? I mean, it's more of a vampire thing, I know. It's not superhero, but he's from a Marvel comic, so... but Punisher, R-rated, and Punisher is going to be in season two of Daredevil on Netflix. Mm-hmm. Right, and if you look at Daredevil and Jessica Jones, I mean, those are... I mean, if there were a rating between PG-13 and R, I think they would be right there. I would dare say they're probably R-rated.
Yeah, I mean, they're on cable or they're on Netflix, and they're not really a rating for series like that. But yeah, I think you're right.
Now, but just to clarify, I'm citing some, you know, a handful of examples here, but they're very specific examples. Generally speaking, I agree with you. You can't go and make an R-rated Spider-Man. I don't think an R-rated X-Men movie would work. R-rated Fantastic Four. I'm dreading the possibility, because this is Fox. Okay, so Fox owns X-Men and they own Fantastic Four. I'm dreading them decided to remake Fantastic Four for the 17th time now.
Right, yeah, I know.
And making it R-rated. Worst decision ever if they do that.
Well, and the thing of it is, these movies that don't really fit the R rating, if they make it, all they're doing is just limiting themselves to who can see the movie. You know, we talked about all the reasons that worked against Deadpool, even though it did really well, of how it might have done poorly, you know, not having families of four or five going to see it and all that kind of stuff. You do that to a franchise that's already had problems, like Fantastic Four.
Right.
And now you limited it to, you know, a certain subset of who saw it last time, that it's like, wow, what you know, you're really not looking for anything big in this, are you?
Right. You don't rate it R in order to try to add something to the movie. You rate it R when you have to for the integrity of the movie. And to keep the integrity of Deadpool, what Deadpool is meant to be, what the movie needed to be, you have to rate it R, or else you're throwing away the integrity of the story and of the character. If you were to make X-Men R-rated, it's because you're trying to draw attention to the fact that it's edgy. And that's not right. That's you don't need to do it. You only rate it R when you need to do it to keep that integrity. And that's why it worked with Deadpool. And why it would work with Punisher if anybody were to ever write a good quality, well-written Punisher movie.
Right, right.
Yeah.
I hope this is one case where Hollywood does not take this ball and run with it and make a bunch of R-rated movies and have them all flop and come back and say, oh, well, we can't do that ever again. And then something that would deserve an R rating in that kind of a treatment might not get it.
Right.
You know, down the road, 3 or 4 years from now.
Right. No, I think I agree with you. I think the lesson that they should take from this is that it's okay to be adventurous with what you do, and it's okay to stay true to the comic book characters and not dumb it down for the mainstream audience who might not be familiar with it. It's okay to stay true and assume that the mainstream audience can catch up. And I think this is not the first example of this. I think this is the second big recent example of this, with Guardians of the Galaxy being the first. I mean, we talked before about what a risk that was. You've got a CG animated talking raccoon demolitions expert and a giant tree.
Yeah. Sounds a little ridiculous when you put it that way. Yeah.
Yeah. And yet it worked, and it worked brilliantly, and it's because they were willing to take a chance on it and do something original.
But now, let me ask you this now, not to drag this topic out any further, but, you know, say Deadpool didn't get released now, and instead they made a Punisher. They made a new Punisher movie and did it as rated R because it was so dark and gritty. Would that have done as well as Deadpool? I mean, how much of Deadpool's success was because of the comedy aspect of it, you know, the adult humor aspect of it versus just being an R-rated movie?
Yeah, no. I won't say all of it, but the vast majority of it. I mean,
if you did a Punisher movie today,
it would not succeed like Deadpool.
Right. Yeah. Now, maybe after Deadpool, maybe you'd get some, you know, props for that. But I don't even think that would be the case because it's different. I mean, people would see Deadpool because it's funny. It's got that humor aspect to it.
Well, that goes back to what you said a minute ago, and it's why you can't just make an R-rated movie. And, like, this is an example of why it's okay to make an R-rated Punisher movie. But the problem is the Punisher story basically has been done a billion times. I mean, we talked about John Wick in this week's Outer Rim episode.
Right.
John Wick, a great movie. It's almost a variation on the Punisher, really. I mean, I never really thought of it that way before, so it's definitely not stealing from it. It's been this long. I've seen the movie multiple times. I've never associated it with the Punisher before. But, like, now that we're talking about this, I can see where that's basically the Punisher. The Punisher's been done so many different times. And like you just said, it's not original. That is what made Deadpool work. It's not just that it's an R-rated superhero movie. It's something original and unique. It's the fact that they took this risk and did this zany character in an R-rated way. They had great comedy to it, and it was a lot of fun. It's the entire combination of all of those ingredients put together. It's not just the R-rating.
Mm. Yep.
So Superman versus Batman is coming out soon, which is obviously not R-rated.
Mm-hmm. It looks awesome.
Yeah. Being done by Zack Snyder, and it is a darker take on Superman, as we saw with Man of Steel, and it looks like a darker take on Batman, an interesting take on Batman. I'm really looking forward to it. But they've done the box office projections for opening weekend, and Deadpool brought in about $135 million, and they're saying that Superman versus Batman is destined to pull in about $145 to $150 million.
Hmm.
Very, very comparable.
Yeah.
The budget for Superman versus Batman, a little bit higher than Deadpool. I don't have the numbers in front of me, but
I'm surprised.
Yeah, not a big surprise. I seem to recall them being, like, I don't know, $200 or $300 million, something ridiculous like that. So I have to imagine that Warner Brothers is sitting there thinking, okay, so basically we're going to do slightly better than this guy in a Spider-Man knockoff suit who runs around swearing and shooting everybody. That was made for like pennies.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
You know that in a, I mean, when you get a movie like Deadpool that comes out of nowhere and does phenomenally well, it immediately makes everybody rethink what they've already done.
Right.
Which I think is tough because you know, you're not going to be able to replicate Deadpool. It's not going to happen. I mean,
right.
You know, I mean, I'm trying to think of another example like that, but I know there's other movies that I've seen that did really, really well that came out of nowhere that weren't expected to.
Yeah.
It's just like, boy, you can't base everything on that. I mean, Batman v Superman is going to be a fun movie to watch. It's going to be, you know, entertaining. It's going to be amazing special effects.
But it's also going to be really serious.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also really, really close to Deadpool. I'm thinking that people have got such a breath of fresh air from Deadpool that I think Warner Brothers and a lot of other film fans, myself included, are a little worried that people are now going to go see Batman versus Superman versus Batman, whichever one comes first. Batman always comes first in my book. But they're going to go see this and think, oh, okay, well, it's just more of what we've been getting all along. It's more of the same thing that I was so glad to get a break from when I was watching Deadpool 3 weeks ago.
Mm.
So I almost think like it's accidentally getting released too close to Deadpool where people are kind of like, yeah, finally something new, something different. And it's not like Man of Steel was really well received by a lot of people either, which surprised me. I liked it, but
I liked it too. It did not get great reviews.
No, not at all. So I don't know. I think that Warner Brothers is a little worried about how this is going to do. Because, I mean, this is kind of a slap into the face of a lot of the more serious comic book films. Even though I don't think it was intended that way, I think that it's kind of, I mean, it's poking fun at itself as much as it's poking fun of other superhero movies, too. So it's not being unfair. And it's not trying to implicate other comic book movies as, you know, something that's not worth going to see. I mean, it's supporting comic book movies, too. But at the same time, it's also saying, hey, they don't have to be serious and somber all the time. And there's probably nothing that's come out in the context of comic books that's been more serious and more somber looking than this upcoming Batman and Superman movie.
Yep. And it's going to have that. I mean, and I think also going to work against this movie, too, is the fact that we just came off, a great run of three Batman movies from Christopher Nolan.
Yeah.
And this is the first time we're going to see him in a non-Christopher Nolan movie in a while. And it's like, wow, that's going to have people thinking twice about going to see this, I think, as well.
You know,
because those movies are so well received. You know, how is this going to be?
Yeah. That's a really good question. I have to say on a personal level, though, and I'm really surprised to say this. I never thought I would say this. I'm already liking Ben Affleck's Batman more so than Christian Bale or probably any of the other previous Batmans. Like, I was really worried about this, but after seeing the footage I've seen so far, he works. Like, he works both Bruce Wayne and Batman.
He looks great in the role.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'd say I think I like it better than the last version we got, but I think on par, you know, definitely.
I didn't care much for the third Christian Bale Batman movie, though.
Okay.
Too much Bruce Wayne, mostly in a pit somewhere. Not enough actual Batman.
Right.
And
you mentioned box office totals and so forth in projections. Where am I? I don't know what site I'm on here, but they talk about they think the total box office run for Batman v Superman will be about $380 million total, which seems awful low to me. But,
I don't know. If you look at $150 million opening and then you look at the half-life, there's another $75 in the second week.
Right.
And we'll say, you know, another $40 in the third week. So there's $250 million or so. And then, you know, give or take another $50 million over the rest of the weeks it's in the theater. Plus, you know, it might not actually cut in half each week. You know, some variances there. Yeah. $300 million is.
Mm.
And likewise, I mean, Deadpool is probably not going to do much more than that. The what's going to save Deadpool, I think, is the word of mouth, again, being so ridiculously positive, plus no competition for many weeks.
Right.
Plus, in addition to the good word of mouth, people wanting to go back to see it a second time.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that's going
to
be.
It'll be interesting to see what happens, like for example, these two movies themselves. See what their total run is when they're both done in the theaters.
Yeah,
that would be very interesting to see.
And you know, the Batman versus Superman, if it's really good, it could have the same thing. It could have really good word of mouth. Mm-hmm. I don't know what else is being released around that time period, so I don't recall off the top of my head what kind of competition it's going to have. But I mean, not to diss it, it could be really good, and it could have a lot of people saying, hey, you know, finally, we have Batman and Superman being done really well. And Wonder Woman, let's not forget Wonder Woman's in it as well, although she's in the title. And I think she's more of, you know, later in the film when they're working on forming the Justice League, I think she's kind of the gateway into the rest of the Justice League characters that way.
Yeah.
But, you know, it could do the same that Deadpool did. Not saying it couldn't. It's just it's not unique and original like Deadpool was.
Right, right. Man, we'll see.
What are we running here on time? Oh, hour and a half almost. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Now, you know, a couple of things you got here in the notes that I think are this next one I think is really exciting. I'm really hoping this does pan out. You got a note in here that says that there's a petition over at change.org to have Deadpool host SNL.
Yes.
That would be awesome. That's the kind of thing I can see Deadpool doing, too.
So Ryan Reynolds is definitely competent enough to be able to hold his own as Deadpool in a Saturday Night Live sketch. I mean, that's a no-brainer. On top of that, if he needed to ad-lib, he could do that, too. So the worst possibility here is him ad-libbing and then having to cut so much of the show that Lorne Michaels bans him from Saturday Night Live. I mean, there have been people who have been banned from the show. I'm worried about Ryan Reynolds getting too much into character and doing too well and blowing it because it's
I
not
don't know. I mean,
TV I think appropriate.
I think he could pull it off.
I think he could too, but I think that's the only real danger.
Before, hasn't he?
I think he has.
I think him. And
I'm confident he has.
Yeah, looks like he did one episode with Lady Gaga back in season 35. I don't know what year that was.
Not too long ago. I think they're in the 40, low 40s right now.
This is 2009, so yeah.
Yeah, okay. All right.
So he's definitely done SNL, so he can definitely do live TV. Doing as Deadpool, maybe he gets a little carried away.
Yeah, that would be my only concern. But I think that, I mean, it's still scripted and stuff.
I bet he could pull it off.
And really, it's Saturday Night Live. I mean, it's not like, what is there to lose? I kind of feel like currently Saturday Night Live is really hit or miss, more miss than hit.
Yeah.
So.
Sadly, but.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, the petition's going really good. I think he could do it really well.
I think so, too.
Deadpool would fit in with the skits in sketches they do, you know, and be able to break that fourth wall still even on SNL and talk to the audience. I would love that. That would be awesome.
And I think what's more likely is they'll bring Ryan Reynolds in to do the show and then have some skits with Deadpool. But I think it would be cooler to actually have Deadpool, the character, host the show, do the opening monologue.
Mm-hmm.
And it's never been done before. They've never had a character host Saturday Night Live as opposed to an actor or actress.
Yeah, I don't think they have, yeah.
Yeah, so that
would be a lot of fun. That'd be awesome.
But it also might be a precedent that Lorne Michaels doesn't want to set.
Mm.
So I don't know. But because Deadpool breaks the fourth wall, which is something most fictional characters don't ever do anyway, it could work as an exception. Like, you could still argue, okay, just this once.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, they've got, as of the time that I read the article talking about this, they had about 23,000 signatures on the petition already. Their goal was 25,000, so they're only like 2,000 away, which is really good. But so head over to change.org if you're interested. And I don't know that the petition actually means anything. Lorne Michaels is still going to do what he wants to do.
Right.
But it would certainly get the attention of SNL and I don't know. I think if nothing else, Lorne Michaels understands the business enough to know that it would get a lot of ratings for that night for SNL. Mm-hmm. A lot.
Yep.
A couple of other notes real quick here. If you're into the comics, Ryan Reynolds said Taskmaster was supposed to have been in the film. Yeah, it's a long story behind who that character is. I won't get into that. He's a Captain America villain, I think, primarily, but then he kind of became a Deadpool villain. He's also another assassin mercenary type, and so, of course, they've crossed paths and all that. Worked together sometimes, too. The rights reverted back to Marvel Entertainment, so unfortunately they couldn't use him in the film, and it would have been too expensive. They were also working out a Wolverine cameo. Unfortunately, that didn't work out, too. The rumors about a sequel being greenlit are correct. They have already had plans for what would be in a sequel as of last year, but they are currently writing the script right now, is my understanding. Again, it looks very, very likely that Cable is going to be in the sequel, which will be a good thing. And Tim Miller, the director, said that there will not be a director's cut available on DVD.
Aw.
Yeah, there was a lot of stuff that got cut. People were speculating, okay, well, that's going to mean a director's cut. There will be deleted scenes on the DVD, but there will not be a separate director's cut, at least that's what he's saying.
I hope we get outtakes.
Outtakes would be...
A blooper reel would be awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I think a lot of the deleted scenes are basically them ad-libbing, which is all but the equivalent of outtakes.
Yeah, true. Yeah.
Some of the stuff they've reported having to cut because it was just, it went way too far.
No.
Yeah, I can't wait to see that stuff. And then one last thing I want to end on here. The Deadpool comics, if you're not into comics that much, like you're interested, but you don't want to have to go back and go get all the backstory and history and stuff like that. The Deadpool stuff is pretty easy to catch up on. You don't really have to know a whole lot about the characters that he crosses paths with. And if you're looking for a good place to start, there were a couple of, you know, he had some appearances in New Mutants and X-Force and stuff like that. Then he got his own 4-issue limited series, and then he had another 4-issue limited series, and then he got his own ongoing series, which was kind of, again, an experimental thing because you don't normally give villains their own series, and he was more a villain than he was a hero. I would skip the limited series, just go straight to the ongoing series that is technically considered Volume 3 or Volume 4. It's the one that started in 1997, I believe. And the easiest way to do that is probably going to be to sign up for a subscription to Marvel Unlimited. It's basically the Netflix of Marvel Comics. It's about $10 a month. You can view them on your iPad, your iPhone, your Android devices, web page on your computer. But it's a good way to catch up on that whole series. That series came to an end, and then it rolled into a different series, and then there are newer Deadpool series and such. But if you go back and look for the one, I believe it's 1997, that's the one you're looking for. That is the best place to start. That's the perfect place to start. That's going to bring you up to speed with the different characters that appeared in the movie, like Weasel, Blind Al, Vanessa, etc. It's a good place to start. It's also got Ajax, so it's a very different version of Ajax than what was in the film.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
So, yeah.
I may have to do that myself.
I would highly recommend it. There's a reason that Deadpool is such a beloved comic book character. And the comics are very fun, too. I got spoiled going back and rereading Deadpool comics, and then I tried to go and catch up on some other comics, too, and I'm like, these just aren't as much fun. So, I don't know. It almost broke comics for me. It made me more critical of comics, I think. It's like, okay, this comic is boring, and if I hadn't read better comics than this, I probably would have spent a lot of time wasted keeping up with this comic book series, and now I'm glad that I didn't. And it's all thanks to Deadpool. So, anyway, wow, what a return episode. An hour and a half.
I think it was well worth the wait. Yeah.
I don't know. It was quite a wait.
We had to wait for Deadpool, so.
We did have to wait for Deadpool. It's their fault. Yes, that's what we missed all this time, with someone to blame it on. We didn't have anybody to blame it on. We can blame it on the, not Deadpool, we can blame it on Fox.
Okay.
Because once again, Fox kept something from us that we needed. First it was Firefly, now it's this. So, all right, well, that's going to wrap up this return episode of Random Chatter. And we're glad you downloaded it, and we're glad you listened, especially if you're still with us at this point in the episode. We are definitely back with Random Chatter. This is going to be a weekly thing here on the Random Chatter Podcast Network and at randomchatter.com. So be sure to check us out there. You can find us on Twitter at Random Chatter. We have a Facebook page, but right now we're not quite up to speed with that yet. There'll be more on that coming soon. Now, you can head over there and check out, I think Jay's got his stuff up there, but he has different Facebook pages for the other shows too. Facebook will be coming soon, but you follow us on Twitter, Random Chatter. You can email us. The email address is podcast@randomchatter.com. So that's the easiest way to get in touch with us. You can get me directly on email. It's Eric, E-R-I-K, @randomchatter.com. Lou, yours is lou@randomchatter.com. It's pretty simple. Yep. Likewise, my Twitter is Eric Blythe, E-R-I-K-B-L-Y-T-H-E. Lou, where can we find you on Twitter?
Just my name. It's Lou Secchi, L-O-U-S-E-C-K-I.
Okay. And we would love it if you would leave us a review in iTunes. I haven't checked them in a while because we haven't done the show in a while, but I'm sure there are a bunch of negative ones. They're like, hey, you guys aren't recording anymore. Where did you go?
Or yeah, maybe I'm sure people checked their podcast feed and went, what? Random Chatter's back again?
Yeah. How did this pop up in my stuff? Yeah. Blast from the past. But, you know, we would appreciate it if you tell your friends about us, too. Let people know that we are back. We are in it for the long haul. We are going to be back every week. And we would love to be able to share the show with you and your friends. So, pass on the news. Random Chatter is back. And finally, the official stuff. The music you hear in this podcast is a song called The Perfect Heist by Blue Stolly. This podcast is copyright 2016, randomchatter.com, and as silly as the sentence sounds, all trademarks are owned by their respective owners. Until next week, take care.
See ya.